You've turned into the broadcast for the Rubber Meets the Road with Pastor A.J. Warner. This broadcast is brought to you by His Will Ministry. His Will Ministry is not here to sell you a diet program, videos, DVDs, or even a tape series that will change your life. We're all committed to one thing and one thing only, pointing you to the person of Jesus Christ. His Will Ministry is a worldwide evangelistic ministry. This radio program is only one of our many outreaches. We hope that you will be encouraged in your Christian walk through this broadcast. We pray that today's message will bless you and strengthen your commitment in serving Jesus Christ. Come and learn more about our ministry by visiting our website at HisWillMinistry.org or email your comments to info@HisWillMinistry.org. We would love to hear from you. Your support and prayer for this ministry will help preach the gospel around the world. Stay tuned for Pastor Warner.
But that was the thing I feel here today. There's a spirit here. You know, I feel, and God always leads me. I mean, I've got some scriptures, and I don't know where my sermon will go, but God always leads me and gives me what He wants spoken. And my wife will tell you, she's always waiting for the day I step up to the pulpit, open my mouth, and nothing comes out. Because I always say, if God doesn't give me a word, I'm not preaching. We'll just sing the rest of the sermon because I'm not preaching. And today as I walked in, I felt kind of a sadness. But as worship started, I felt the spirit and the joy still underlying there. It's still there. It just needs to be nurtured. And maybe that's why, because my sermon today that he gave me, I called Secret Places. Because one of the things that I've learned in the last few months that God has been laying on my heart and Mary's is to never, ever take my eyes off Jesus. Because every second I take my eyes off Jesus, that means it's got to be on the world. You ever think about that? I mean, we're to live in this world, but we're not to be conformed. We're to be transformed. And so, if we don't live with this, as the one pastor called it, the idiot box, if we don't live with this constantly focused on Jesus, then every second it's not, we're focused on something we shouldn't be. Because Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will follow." Well, everybody always takes that and says, "He was speaking spiritually only to us." Well, back up a few verses. The few verses before say what? Why are you worried about what you're going to wear? Aren't the lilies of the field clothed more royally than Solomon was? Yet they wither? Doesn't the Father know when one bird falls? See, he was talking that if we seek the spiritual things, then everything else you and I are ever going to need is going to show up. But we can't get to that point if our eyes aren't up here. And that's what we've gone through some trials in our lives. In the last 10 months, we have a business that you can read on the side of the truck. We have a business along with the ministry that basically keeps us alive. And last year, I stupidly, or very intelligently, which one would you want to look at, got down on my face and said, "Lord, this business is taking too much of my time. I want to spend more time with you." Instantly, it ceased to exist. I mean, all our clients just dried up. And so from last November through, probably June, we used up everything we had, all the reserves for the business, borrowed money. We kept it going. And finally, when we just said to the Lord, "Hey, we're seeking you, we're loving you, we're working for you." And he said, "You got the point?" And it's starting to go again. But he's taught us. My wife has had some health problems. And, you know, people think sometimes I'm a little strange. But we were going down to McAllen, and the doctor told her, "Whatever you do, no stress. Eat many small meals, high fiber, no stress." Underlined, no stress. Well, you get in a truck and drive 3 days straight to the wedding of your son, which you've never met his fiancée. And, of course, stress. Well, we're headed down, and her stomach problems got worse and worse. And we stopped to have dinner. And I don't know what it was. But she was having some problems, real severe pain. And so I'm trying to drive down the road at 75 miles an hour and pray to the Lord. Tell him, you need to fix this, you need to take care of her, I trust you. And of course, you know how the Lord is, nothing happened. This. She was still in pain. And so I just started saying to the Lord that He was all I had. I said, I can't take my eyes off you even if this doesn't happen because you're all I have. And if I take my eyes off you, Jesus, then I really have no foundation to stand on. I'm out there like the rest of the world with no hope of ever getting anywhere. And I just wasn't even really asking Him. I was just worshiping Him, telling Him what I loved about Him. And all of a sudden, I look up, and as God is my witness, I saw this. My wife didn't, my daughter didn't, but here's this billboard out of nowhere that says, Jesus is the solution. And then the only solution is, and underneath Jesus in rainbow letters, and then it said, all His promises will come true. Now these two thought I freaked out, because I'm like, did you see it? Did you see it? Did you see it? And they're like, what? But at that second, her stomach stopped bothering her. See, I'm a firm believer that God's power exists for us today. I'm a firm believer that we live so far below where He wants us to live. I really think that if we could just believe, the woman that had the issue of blood for 12 years, she was broke. She'd spent every dime on a doctor. Yet, she'd heard of that man, Jesus. And for some reason, instilled in her from what she heard was that belief. And she just, if we read it in the gospel, it says she crawled through the crowd. And I don't know about you guys, but our streets are a little cleaner in those days. Because in those days there was cattle, pigs, things walking along those streets, and there wasn't a street sweeper. Here's this poor woman that crawled through the street underneath the crowd to get a hold of His garment. She was healed. And you know, even if Jesus wasn't the Son of God, when He turned around and said, who touched me? Do you think everybody in the crowd looked like she did? No, here was this poor woman who was probably filthy from head to toe, from dust and dirt trying to get there, and hoping that He wouldn't notice her, and He turned around and looked at her, and she just suddenly confessed everything. Have you ever noticed that when you get face to face with Jesus? You really get in there face to face, meet the Lord face to face. You're so unworthy, you want to confess everything, even if there isn't anything to confess. Have you ever noticed that? When the power of the Lord comes down, you just are so unworthy that it just... Well, that was her case. She confessed everything, and what was His only words to her? Your faith has made you whole. See, God has taught me not to look at what I see. And I think that's why I got... 2 Chronicles 38 as the start of whatever I'm going to preach today. 2 Chronicles 38, now be you not stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord and enter into His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of His wrath may turn away from you. I believe the part that God wants me to speak about today is not being stiff-necked, not fierce wrath, but yielding ourselves unto the Lord and entering into His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord. Now think about this. This is Old Testament. Who was allowed to go into the sanctuary of God? Only the priests. You and I, as common people, we weren't allowed to go through there, were we? But here are the words that were being spoke from the prophet saying, Yield yourselves unto the Lord and enter into His sanctuary, which He has sanctified forever, and serve the Lord God. I believe that we have a place that we don't get to very often. And I think if we would get there and spend some time there with the Lord, there would be things going on in our lives that we just couldn't believe. The Lord says here that He wants us to enter into the sanctuary. But what I like is what He says is it's been sanctified forever. God, when asked by Moses, He said, "Who shall I say sent me?" Moses was answered by God, "Tell him I am sent you." I always love that. That is so simple sometimes. I am. Not I was, not I will be, not I might be, but just flat out, I am. You know, it doesn't matter what problems we face. You know, Mary and I have been through, sadly enough, I can't count how many churches we've ministered to that the pastor, they've lost their pastor, or something has happened in a church split, or other things, just little things that have gotten in the way of Jesus. And it always hurts my heart so much, because I think when Satan comes after our throats and does these things, we start getting into the mode of, well, what did we do wrong? Where did we go wrong? Instead of, wait a minute, we got to keep our eye on Jesus. And if we keep our eye on Him and ask His will be done, this is going to turn around. Because I don't believe it's ever God's will to ever, ever close the door on a church. I don't think it's ever God's will for a pastor to leave the ministry. I honestly don't believe it's God's will for a pastor to retire. I have a feeling I'll be preaching the day before I die if God will let me. Because He says right here, sanctified forever. You know what God does, man can't undo. Remember what they said about Jesus? If it be of man, it will go away. But if it be of God, there is nothing that we can do to stop it. I think that, and it's a lot of times you can ask my wife, a lot of times I preach to myself. A lot of times I'm speaking to my heart. I've been seeking the face of God for years. And of course, all of you that know, when you read your Bible, what does it say? No man can see the face of God that lives. Even Moses, "Hey, God, I want to see your face." What did God say to him? "Can't do that. You can hide in the rock, and when I go by, I'll tell you, come out and you see my back, but you can't see my face." But I'm not saying I'm seeking to see God's face right in front of me. It's God's presence. There is a secret place that Jesus speaks of. There are a secret place that David spoke of. There is a secret place that Isaiah and the prophets all spoke of, where we're with God, as close as we can be. And that is a place where you get to that the world has no hold on you anymore. Now for men, and this is one thing I've found is almost universal. I was reading a devotion the other day that was written in the 1800s, and this man spoke of it. But for men, what keeps them out of the secret place is their mind. We try to get into God, and our mind wants to go somewhere else. Our mind wanders. "Oh, man, I got to get that done today." My wife and I were talking about deep spiritual things on the way. We do that. We get into these deep spiritual conversations sometimes. We'll have read a scripture. We'll spend an hour discussing it on the road to wherever we're preaching that day. And we were doing this, and I was talking with her, and all of a sudden, my mind just took a day trip. And I started talking about some things I needed to do next week in the business. And she just looked at me like with that blank stare. Where did you just go? And that's what happens to men. And I found that universal with men. When they try to get before God in prayer and supplication and worship, their mind goes somewhere else. And if you've ever seen the movie Wonderful Life, you've seen that picture hanging on the wall where George lassos the moon. Well, that's what guys have to do with their minds. You know, they go wandering off. You got to get back over here. Women, you guys are lucky. My wife, when she gets on her knees, she gets into that secret place, and she's just wailing and crying and weeping. I mean, her heart just... And I sometimes am praying with her, and she goes, and I'm just like, hey, Lord, remember me? I'm over here. Can you kind of drag me in with her? But that's something that we need to hold on. We need to hold on. In Psalms 91, he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that. I love that. You know, because he knows. You know, David knew. If anybody ever knew how to worship God, it had to have been David. I mean, David loved God so much that when he got the tabernacle back, he got in trouble for it. Do you remember the story? David was so enthused with worshiping God, so happy that the tabernacle was back where it belonged, he started dancing. Well, he'd been out in the desert moving this thing 6 feet at a time. So he basically stripped down to almost nothing, and he was just dancing before the Lord. Didn't even know there was anything going on. He was just in the Lord, worshiping the Lord, didn't care. And remember what happened? His wife got all mad at him. She was embarrassed seeing the king dancing around pretty well naked. And, but see, that's what David knew how to worship. Now, I'm not saying come to church next Sunday naked to worship. No, That would be way too scary to see me up here. It's not a pretty sight. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, think about it. Is there anything in the world that can bother you when you're under the shadow of the Almighty? There isn't. But see, we don't get there. Look at the story of David. David was, quote unquote, a man after God's own heart, yet he was a murderer, an adulterer, and he had to give up his first son from Bathsheba. But do you remember what happened? David was fasting, praying, worshiping, weeping before God. And the moment the men walked in and said, he's dead, what did David do? He just got up, took a shower, and had a big meal. And they're all like, hey, wait a minute. Your son just died. Shouldn't you be mourning? What did David say? He said, as long as there was a chance that my God would repent and change his mind, I was fasting and mourning and weeping. So he was getting into the secret place. Or as I like to say, he was up there rattling the gates of heaven. You know, miracles occur. We have a nephew. Isn't Toby technically a nephew? Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a nephew, Toby, who has cerebral palsy. Toby doesn't walk, doesn't really talk. And about a month ago, Mary's brother came up, and we started talking about how we really needed to pray for Toby. Well, Mary is the prayer warrior supervisor, basically, for our ministry. She has worldwide prayer chains. I mean, if you call her and give her a prayer request, within a few hours, it's across the world for thousands and thousands and thousands of prayer warriors. Well, Toby, we were coming back on Friday, and it was Thursday night, we got a call. Her brother had gotten a call from his daughter, and Toby had said that God wanted him to walk. And when asked how he knew God wanted him to walk, he said, because he told me so. in answer to the prayers, God had spoken to that boy. Now, nobody's been preaching Jesus to this boy. He doesn't have any way of knowing God. The next day, the girl that was with him, he was talking about the stairs, and she said to him, well, why don't you just walk upstairs? Because he needed to go upstairs, and usually someone carries him. Toby just said, okay. Got up and walked up and down those stairs. This is a boy that hadn't walked. See? Belief. The power of God. So I don't have it yet. God uses me. I'm like an old evangelist. I don't have any of the gifts of Spirit until God wants them to work through me. Then I have them all. But see, Toby had something I don't have. That I want. He had that faith. Unerring, total faith in Jesus. See, and that's what happens when we enter into the secret place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. See, when we abide in that secret place, you can't help but have that faith. And Jesus, I had an old evangelist back in the 1800s I love. He always used to say, and they called him the Apostle of Faith, he always used to say, when I didn't have enough faith, I'd call upon Jesus. And I'd say, I know your faith is 100%. Because you've seen the Father. You walked, you lived, you were resurrected. You, Jesus, if anybody would have 100% belief, it would have to be the Lord, wouldn't it? But see, when we reside in that secret place, we're there too. But it's a place we need to get to. A place we need to be at. It's a place that's hard to get to. David in Psalms 92, right across the page in my Bible, one pastor says, if you have the right Bible, it's on page 933, but since this is just a large print King James, I don't know if anybody else would have that Bible. But he says in Psalms 92, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. They shall grow like a cedar. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. In the courts of our God, they shall bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat and flourishing to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock. There is no unrighteousness in Him. There is no unrighteousness in Him. I like that. You know, I'm not really old, but I'm 49. 49's a half a year right now from 50. You know, being a half a year from a half a century, I like that line. You shall bear fruit in your old age. I think that's a positive. But what does it say? It says, the righteous seek ye first His kingdom and His righteousness. If we're not where we want to be, if things aren't going the way they should be, then maybe we need to do some evaluation of ourselves. An old evangelist once said that it only takes one spark to start a fire. One spark to start a fire. And when you look at as dry as it's been, and you look at where the lightning strikes, we get a pretty good idea that that's all it takes is one spark. But see, the one thing I've learned, and Mary and I have learned together, is that when we come into any body of Christ, whether it's got 100 people in it, or 5, if there's a spark, it's still alive. It still has hope. But if that spark dies, we've walked into a church with 100 people every Sunday morning being the deadest church I've ever been in. There's no spirit. There's no hope. Those people show up on Sunday morning. Sunday night, you're down to 15 if you're lucky. You have a prayer meeting in the middle of the week, 5 or 6. Death. Death only occurs when the spark goes out. I don't know everything that this little body's been through. I know quite a bit. because I've been involved with a lot of the things that are going on, but I don't really know everything. But I learned something this morning. The Spirit's here. The love of Jesus is here. And as long as that exists, if you get hold of the fire and the vision, this place will just turn around. But you have to hold on to that. We worked with one church, and it was so funny. It was the first time I'd ever walked into that church. What was there, four that Sunday? Three or four. And they existed on Wyoming time. They didn't have Sunday school. We didn't have a key to the building. So we showed up. It was about 5 minutes after 11 when they showed up. And, you know, I think we had three or four. And I was so despondent in my heart that I went back into the fellowship room, got on my knees, and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And he said, "Didn't you tell me you'd preach anywhere, any place, anytime? Did you put a limit on who would be there?" And I thought, ooh, chastise. By the time we finished serving that little church, it was almost 30 a Sunday. And the Spirit was growing. But it had nothing to do with me. It had nothing to do with my wife. It had to do with the Spirit of God. I've learned one thing. I am nobody.
Hi, this is Mary Warner. I'd like to thank you for listening to today's broadcast. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, I would like to invite you to do that with me right now. It'll be the most important decision you ever make in your life. Bow your head with me now in prayer. Father, we come to you right now as sinners in need of a Savior. Lord, we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins. We are heartfully sorry for them. Lord Jesus, come into our hearts and cleanse us with your precious blood. You died to set us free from sin. We accept that gift of salvation, Jesus, and we will turn away from our lives of sin and follow you. Thank you, Father, for sending your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. Thank you that he has resurrected from the dead and right now sits at your right hand in heaven interceding for us. Thank you, Father, for providing the pardon for sin that we don't have to spend an eternity suffering in hell. If you prayed that prayer with me right now, please contact us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming, 82941, or online at info@hiswillministry.org. Your new life in Christ Jesus has begun. You need to be baptized by immersion in water and seek out Christian fellowship. You will grow daily in your new spiritual life by reading God's Word, the Bible. Send your prayer request to me, Mary Warner, the prayer team supervisor of His Will Ministry, to mary@hiswillministry.org. Your financial investment in this ministry helps us send the gospel around the world. Write us at His Will Ministry, Post Office Box 1933, Pinedale, Wyoming 82941. And have a wonderful day today serving Jesus.